podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Late Tea Time, the golf betting podcast that finds the best betting value closer to the first shot being struck than anyone else.
And a very good morning, Late Tea Time, probably it's morning in the UK, wherever you are in the world. Hopefully you're having a good day. And we're back on the Late Tea Time podcast. Look ahead to this week's golfing action. James and DT with you. And we have, obviously, coming off the Masters, a little bit of success last week, DT. I think we came out with our pockets slightly fuller than when we went in.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Again, you'll be sick of the sight of us. I've been there. On for about five of the last about 8 days. We had that make the cut acca at 9-1 on day one. Tiger Woods playing a starring role in that. We also backed Tiger just on his own to make the cut at 10-11. So that set us up for the week. And then we had a 5-1 double on Schaffley and Smith making the top 10. That was another in-play bet. We almost landed a biggie on the final day, didn't we? That was a shame. That was a 12-1 two ball. It was going to land, and then Xander Schauffele messed up the final hole.
Yeah, it wasn't too far overall, away.
Overall, a nice profitable week. Yeah,
and it kind of brings us on to this week nicely because I mean, we were with you all the way through the Masters, came between rounds as well, obviously because it was a major, and as DT just said, it kind of shows the beauty of coming back in play at times as well because we picked up some winning bets as we went through, but I feel like kind of you miss the Masters, you kind of take a big deep breath, exhale, because you've seen 4 days of tremendous golf at Augusta. And then you go again, and I'm thinking kind of the players have to do that, don't they? And obviously they get themselves up for a major, and now they have to go again back into the kind of week to week. It's possibly quite a big psychological task, that, isn't it, to kind of reset and go?
Yeah, especially for Scottie Scheffler, who's just won the Masters and probably just do with, you know, chilling out for a while. He's got a baby on the way at the end of the month. But he's lining up here. It's a signature event at the Heritage. So all the big guys have kind of packed their bags, made the 2.5-hour drive to South Carolina, and they go again. But, yeah, it must be a bit tricky to get yourself up for it again.
I'll go through the top end of the markets. We'll start with the RBC Heritage, and we'll also mention the Corrales Punta Cana Championship as well before we leave you. But Scotty, who the aforementioned 9-2 favourite, always very short, but kind of carries you money with care, doesn't he, at the moment. Xander Schauffele, 13-1. Rory is 14s. Ludvig Ekberg is in there at 14s. Patrick Cantlay, 16-1. Colin, who did so well at the Masters, but just fell away, didn't he, in that final round, 20-1. Tommy Fleetwood, who played well, 20-1. Matt Fitzpatrick is 25s. And Max Homer, 28s. The rest are bigger. Just on Rory, before we get into the picks, I was kind of thinking this morning, actually, you know, as you kind of trog around, you make your coffee and you're thinking about golf. Rory, at the moment, he's just a little bit off it, isn't he? He admitted it himself, his game wasn't quite there. Seems to me, at the minute, DT, that Scottie Scheffler can win a tournament with his B game. Rory needs his A-plus game to be right at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, you just feel Rory's fighting something, whereas Scottie Scheffler's in this perfect kind of sweet spot where, you know, he's mentally very, very sort of tuned in, brilliant mental side to his game, has great perspective on it all, and kind of knows, yeah, he's the game's just coming easy to him. Keeps racking up these wins. Is that three in the last four he's won? Massive events as well. Players' Championship, the Masters. So, yeah, it's at the moment, it's no contest, is it? You'd be back in Scheffler all day against McIlroy.
Best job in the world being Scottie Scheffler's agent, isn't it? Just kind of following the sunshine, watching him play golf and picking up the cup.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big feeling this week that he might not attend that. I mean, I was thinking, I saw it in a lot of previews, that, oh, he might, you know, his head won't be in this and he'll probably pull out. And he's interviewed yesterday, Wednesday, and said, absolutely, I'm not pulling out. When he commit to something, he commits to something. So he's here, you know, to play proper golf, not just sort of turn up and wave. Mm-hmm. And quite a few players said that about him. They've all sort of said what a great guy he is as well. And, you know, he's loyal. He'll never just sort of phone it in kind of thing. So, Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be backing him this week because I think you do suffer some sort of mental letdown after a big win like that. But if he goes and wins again, you can't say, oh, really? But, you know, because he is so good.
This is Late Tea Time, the last word in golf betting with James Butler and Dave Tindall.
Betting-wise, though, 9-2, albeit on a thoroughbred pedigree Scottish Scheffler. 9-2 skinny, isn't it? Kind of where do we find the value, DT, in this market?
Well, I've got a bit of a theme this week. It's about two major champions who have a bit of a point to prove, maybe not to the outside world, but maybe to themselves because they missed the cut at the Masters. So they're my... That's my line of thinking this week. So I'll start off with Brian Harman, the Open champion.
Just before you go on, I was thinking that as well this morning. If you've missed the cut at the Masters, you're going to be disappointed, but you're not going to necessarily give it another 36 holes, go through all the mental stress of that. You've got two more days to kind of recoup and recalibrate and maybe iron out a few flaws that you found at Augusta and maybe come back stronger this week.
Yeah, we've seen players here before. John Spieth missed the cut at the Masters 1 year and either he won... Yeah, I think he might have won this on the back of missing the cut in the Masters. And last year, he got to a playoff here after missing the cut in the Masters. So, yeah, I think it's a couple of reasons. One, you're trying to prove something. And B, yeah, you might have had 2 days off of less stress. So it's a valid policy. So to start with, yeah, Brian Harman, the Open champion. He's got a big backstory here because this is the first tournament he ever came to as a kid. He's from the area. And then he made his PGA Tour debut here. I think he was an amateur at the time. And that was 20 years ago. So that's the anniversary for him this year. He's got loads of family and friends that have come out. And obviously, it'll be his first start here as a major winner, as the Open champion.
Yeah.
Which puts a bit of a pep in his step. So he's got that nice story. He says, I love the golf course. It's always really, really comforting to be back here. So that's sort of nice and all good. But I think there's another factor at play in the fact that he did miss the cut at the Masters where... I don't know if you saw him. I mean, so many stories going on there that you kind of maybe don't pick up on them all. But he shot a 47 on one of the nines at Augusta on day one. A 47. That's, I mean, I know it was tough, but that was pretty wow.
We'd be delighted with that, but Brian Harman won't.
Yeah, we'd 47 for six holes. But yeah, he shot it on nine, and it just seemed a bit weird. So he was asked about it in this press conference, and he just said, yeah, I lost patience, a couple of bad swings, and before you know it, it got away with you. But I think he was quite pleased. He came back to shoot par the next day. So it's not like he left Augusta with his mind in tatters and his game all over the place. He just had that sort of crazy nine. And I did like this quote. He said to me, usually after you struggle, especially for me, after I struggle for a week, I usually play pretty well the next week. It's because I kind of refocus and work again. So it's all sort of worthy words, but then I had a quick check at his recent record to see if, you know, if he can walk the walk as well as talk the talk when it comes to that idea. And it's true. So 2022, Scottish Open, missed the cut. Next week goes to St Andrews and finishes sixth. It's a massive turnaround there to, you know, two events played in Scotland. Then also last year, he was 71st at the Wyndham Championship, which means he only almost finished last of those who scraped through the cut. So 71st, way, way down the field. Next week finishes third at St Jude. And then last year, which is particularly relevant, he missed the cut at the Masters and then came in and was seventh. So, yeah, he does. It's clearly in his head that he's got this thing where once he misses the cut, it's not just like, that's bad, isn't it? He decides, right, I need to sort this out.
Yeah.
So this is his local tournament. He's got, he's not brilliant here all the time, but he's got 7th, 9th, 13th, outside the top 35 just once in the last 6 years. He was runner-up in the Players' Championship last month as well. So, I mean, that's against the absolute best field of the year. So I thought he was a good bet for this because I think we can ignore last week and focus on the other good stuff.
You can get him at a range of prices, but I reckon the best one, if you want the places as well, 50-1, Brian Harman, 7 places with William Hill Yeah, that's the one that'll go on to our late tea time podcast betting slip this time. So you got two players, Brian Harman one.
Just to finish up on Harman, also back him for round one leader.
Okay.
Because he was third after round one last year here, got off to a quick start. And then in 2021, he was eighth after round one. So he does make fast starts at this course in recent times.
Okay, so Brian Harman, first round, and to win the trophy, two bets there. Just going to scroll down and find out what price he is to be first round leader. About 45s you can get on Brian Harman to be first round leader after 18 holes.
This is Late Tea Time, the golf betting podcast.
Yeah, so the other bet this week is another of the current Open champions, Wyndham Clark.
So I was thinking about Wyndham. Because he's been playing well this season, and it was his first trip to Augusta. And although you see it on television, it doesn't prepare you, I don't think, for the actual challenge. And I was listening to the commentators when he was going around, and they were saying, yeah, maybe if he played this course a little bit more, he wouldn't have quite attacked the green in that place and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think he was playing badly. He just was maybe a bit of naivety around Augusta. It doesn't make him a bad player. It doesn't take away from the fact that he's in quite good form.
Yeah. I mean, he's in great form. And basically, only Scheffler's been better than him in a couple of recent events. Arnold Palmer and the Players last month. Wyndham Clark was runner-up. Do you remember that the putt that holed out to get into a playoff? He sort of lipped it out. He's in great. He's won at Pebble Beach as well this year. So he's actually in great
form. He almost did like a 360 single came out. He did everything but drop.
The shock on his face was like, oh. But yeah, going through all of the player transcripts this week, his was the one that made me sort of think a bit when I hadn't really thought about him for this week. I mean, on a very basic level, he's the world number five, and yet he's not fifth in the betting, is he? He's quite a long way down.
35 to one best price, but 30 to one is the price I'm going to give you, William Hill again. Yeah.
So he's in, well, hang on, the world number five, why is he 35 to one? Having finished second twice and won once already this season, which is way, way above just about everyone apart from Scheffler, isn't it, in the field? And I thought these quotes were interesting. He said, something that has bothered me is when people say the course is perfect for you and I go to the tournament because, one, it puts expectations on me and I feel like, okay, if I don't win, I'm not really doing very well. And then he said, the other thing that's bothered me is I feel like I've worked hard at my game to be able to play at any golf course. And so you come to a place like Harbour Town, and yes, it's not a bomber's course, but I would like to think my game is more refined than just being able to hit it far and then wedge it close and play the par fives good. So he's a bit frustrated that people think, oh, this isn't the course for him. And he says, so courses like this one, Harbour Town, give me a little chip on my shoulder to try and go and prove that I can play any kind of golf course and I can be really accurate and hit it straight and do things like that. So he's got some incentive after missing the cut at the Masters. He'll want to bounce back from that. And then he's also got that thing where people aren't... It's almost like he prefers playing a course when people don't expect him to do well there. It just sort of plays into his psyche. And I did check his form there. Okay, it doesn't leap off the page, but he's played there five times and he's made the cut every time. That's not bad. His best performance was last year when he was 29th, but it's kind of improved. It seems to be improving year on year, as he is as a player. So you'd expect, you know, this year to be his best effort. He shot 66 in round three the last 2 years, just stalling on the final day. So I think he's a bit under the radar this week. I think people have just sort of looked at his general course form and it's sort of okay-ish. But Wyndham Clark is such a rapid improver over the last 12 months. I think it could be written off a bit too easily. I was not surprised at his odds because I think it's based on there's others with obviously good course form and he hasn't quite got it. But if you've made the cut every year, you've got plenty of rounds under your belt. He knows what to do here.
You haven't seen Full Swing the second season, have you?
No, they asked him about that. He said, have you watched your episode? And he went, no, I hate watching myself on TV. I've already lived it. I don't need to watch it. But you're going to tell me what's on.
it's a good one. Because he comes across as a really nice guy. His mum died when he was younger, and her kind of parting words to him was go out and achieve kind of thing, go out and be a champion, blah, 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 blah. And he's kind of lives that kind of almost doing it for her kind of attitude, but he was mentally frail, and he's employed a sports psychologist, got a lady that works with him, and she's really dug into him because he's got a lot of demons about losing his mum and various other things. And she's kind of pieced him together, patched him up, and made him a winner, basically. It's actually a really interesting episode because they compare him with Joel Darman, who has got kind of natural flair but has mental frailties, but refuses to go to a sports psychologist and put it right. Whereas Wyndham Clark has kind of effectively fessed up and had hours with this woman and has really kind of approached golf in a different way. So it's a really good episode. If you're interested in sports psychology, it's actually very interesting.
I really must watch that series. Maybe I'll do that today. But yeah, he's the world number five, isn't he? On a very basic level, he's the world number five. He's 35-1.
Yeah, well, good player. So for the RBC Heritage, Brian Harman goes onto the betting slip, 50-1, seven places, William Hill, and Wyndham Clark, 30-1, seven places with William Hill. Yeah. Is that everything for RBC?
Just same deal as with Harman, back Clark to be round one leader as well.
Okay, so Wyndham Clark, first round leader too. Anyway, gives us a chance to say thank you very much to switchwatersupplier.com. They're our sponsors of the Late Tea Time podcast. If you're a business and you want to save money on your water bills, and who doesn't want to save money, this is how you can do it.
All golfers want to stay away from the water. That splash as your round sinks beneath the surface is never a good sound. But golf courses rely on water to keep those fairways and greens lush for that post-round shower or the clean glass at the 19th hole. Golf courses, indeed most businesses, spend way too much money on their water bills. Switch Water Supplier can cut your water costs and help your business save money. Register now at switchwatersupplier.com. They will do all the hard work and get your business the very best price for your water supply and claim money back if you've been overcharged. Switchwatersupplier.com. Switching made simple.
Switching made simple. Thanks very much to switchwatersupplier.com for their continued support of the Late Tea Time podcast. Anyway, on to the Corrales Punta Cana, the exotically named championship, and top end of the leaderboard going across the bottom of the screen there. Alex Noren, 14-1. Nikolai Højgaard, who played so well at the Masters, 14-1. Got Billy Horschel, 20s. A lot of names that I haven't recognised there. Aaron Ray, I know, who's been playing quite well this season, 30-1. But DT, for this one, where are we going to look?
Yeah, very much the secondary event this week. And it is a good chance for Alex Noren to get his first win. He's 14-1 market leader. I wouldn't put you off him, but my official bet is Garrick Higo. Do you know him, James? Have you had that name?
I don't know him very well. He's just coming across the screen there, 50-1, DT. Just as you mention him, he appears at the bottom.
There you go. It's as if we planned this. The South African, he made headlines on a DP World Tour a couple of years ago when he racked up a couple of wins in quick succession, and then he went to the PGA Tour and won there as well, which was, wow. I think it was his third start. So it's massive talent. Hasn't quite sort of kicked on spectacularly as a few people thought he would. But he's still a very, very talented player. And you think this is a good chance for him. And the thing I quite like this week, and I've seen a few sort of good judges that I respect have tipped him up. And I really do agree that he's worth a bet this week. It's quite a long course here at Corrales Punta Cana, and it was designed by Tom Fazio. And when Higo won his PGA Tour event, that came at the Palmetto Championship, and that was a long course designed by Tom Fazio, so the same sort of deal. It's one of those kind of seaside events played by the coast where you've got that paspalum grass that, is used. It's quite a sort of... it's good for coastal events. It kind of likes that environment. It grows well there. He won one of his DP World Tour events there in Spain on that grass. I just think if you look at this field, it's a lot of players who are looking to win for the first time or are trying to you know, rekindle former days. And, you know, that's why it's the secondary event on the PGA Tour. But he's, I think he's got one of the highest ceilings in the field. I mean, he's already won a PGA Tour event. He putted really well in Texas last time. He's been making loads of cuts. I just think if you look at some of these, you think, well, can I see him winning? I can see him maybe coming fourth or fifth. Higo is good enough to win this event. I just think his current form is bubbling under a little bit, and he could be ready to win on a course that I think should really suit him. So, yeah, I thought, what did you say, 50 to 1, was he?
Yeah, I mean, all the prices seem to be listing this week with William Hill, but I list whoever's got the best value. So William Hill may be our preferred bookie this week. 50 to 1, 6 places with Hills. Obviously, these prices correct at the time that we say them. By the time you get to this podcast, they may have changed a little bit. It's a shop around. But yeah, 50 to 1, 6 places with Hills.
Yeah, and you know what I'm going to say next. Also back in for round one, because he was ninth after round one in Puerto Rico last month, and Puerto Rico is a similar kind of test. It's, you know, it's outside the US mainland. It's by the coast, Paspalum grass again. So in similar conditions, he was ninth after round one. So also take him in that market.
Yeah. So Garrick Higo, where is the Corrales Punta Cana played then? Near the coast, but where?
Is it Dominican Republic, I think?
I was going to say, it sounds very, it's like a sexy resort, doesn't it? I quite like that.
Holiday resort.
Corrales and Punta Cana. Anyway, good luck to Garrick Higo, who is carrying our cash then at the Corrales Punta Cana. Good luck to Brian Harman as well, and to Wyndham Clark this week at the RBC Heritage. And indeed, late tea time podders, good luck to you as well. How are you betting with your fellow Dave Tindall, or whether you follow yourself, your own nose and your heart with your bets this week? Good luck. Gamble responsibly. This has been a Sports Broadcast Media production. DT, as always, thank you for your time.
James.
Good luck with your bets this week and late tea time podders. We'll see you again next week. We come as late as possible. That's why it's called the Late Tea Time Podcast. And we'll be with you probably Wednesday night, Thursday morning next week. We'll confirm on Twitter at Late Tea Time Pod nearer the time. We'll see you then.
Always gamble responsibly. Visit begambleaware.org for more information.
Podcast Network.